Okay, we are going to continue on in the 16th chapter of Leviticus, but we'll have a brief relapse, should we say, of the first part, but not right now. Jeff is going to read the latter part from verse 20 to the end of the chapter.
And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aharon shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Then Aharon shall come into the tent of meeting, and shall take off the linen garments that he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body in water in a holy place, and put on his garments, and come out, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who lets the goat go to Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. And the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement for the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. Their skin and their flesh and their dung shall be burned up with fire. And he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. And it shall be a statute to you forever, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you. And you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, wearing the holy linen garments. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins. And Aharon did as the Lord commanded Moshe.
Any comments?
I didn't know there were so many washings. He came in and went out and came in and went out to the people and had to wash again.
Last week when you were going over this, one of the things you emphasized is how that the Day of Atonement was something that basically the high priest did all by himself. But in this little text here, we actually do see here he does get a little bit of help.
Correct. Now we'll talk about that. It's very important to know something about this particular area. There is a separation taking place here. Okay, so let's go back a little bit and let's analyze what we're seeing on this Day of Atonement. Well, briefly, we'll run back the first part of the chapter. We'll briefly go over it. We don't need to go through it in great detail. But verse 2, it says here that not everyone, or he was not, the high priest, not to come into the Holy of Holies any time. But only when? Once a year. Okay? And he is to go into what's called the holy place, or the one that's behind the veil, right? And which was the mercy seat, which has a covering over it. What does it cover? The Ten Commandments. Covers a testimony. Remember, that's where the ark is, and that's what's inside of it. Now, the outside of it is gold, and the seat is gold, or gold covered. And the angels are gold covered, but inside of this particular thing is a very important thing. Now, as we go through this process of thinking back upon this day, there's a certain thing that has to us to see and to understand, a process on how God purifies things. Right? So we're going to walk through this a little bit. And we keep on going. And he has these holy garments, verse 4. And he takes the blood of the bull, which is called the sin offering. That is sin offering for himself. Remember? That's in verse 3. Back to verse. And then he says, then the blood of the ram is for a... These are things you're supposed to bring, okay? The blood of the ram for an offering called holah offering. And then the two kids from Israel, not for himself, but from Israel, for a sin offering, and also one for the holah offering. I mean, the holah or burnt offering. And then a ram of Israel for a holah offering or burnt offering. Now we're going to read about, actually, the two goats are for sin offerings. Both of them are for sin offering, not for a holah offering. Okay? And we have that part in my mind, right? We have that. We talk about the bull that's for the high priest and his family, right? And then we talk about what else was it? A ram for the high priest for something called a holah offering or a burnt offering. And then we have the two goats are for a sin offering. And then we have a ram for a holah offering for the house of Israel. In the first part of this particular section, we're seeing a pattern. Before we go, he talks about this atonement. Now, atonement is a really big word. There are two functions in the world of atonement with the Word of God. There are two, not one, two. Okay? And this chapter brings it out. For what's called atonement. Okay? And we have to kind of pay attention to this because if we understand that, then we have an understanding of God. There is one type for this atonement, another type for that atonement. All right? Keep the point of view. One has to be first before the second one has to become. For what's called atonement or a covering. All right? Yom Kippurim. And then, of course, we have the two goats. Okay? One of them is for Yahweh, or Yahuwah, the Lord. And that one's for Azal. And I told you last time that word means, and I'll tell you again, this is made up of two Hebrew words. One is, which is a female goat. Simple as that. That's the latter part of that word. The first part is Azel, comes from Azal. And the word Azal means what? To go away, to disappear, to be gone, in a sense to be eliminated completely. So one goat is for the Lord and the other one is to eliminate it completely. And we're going to talk about that latter part of the goat this time. But just having a backtrack of what we're looking at now. And then what the priest is supposed to do, he's to offer the bulls of the sin offering for the priest, and it's called an atonement. He's offering a sin offering for himself and his family, which is called also an atonement. And then he takes and casts a lot on the two goats. Both are sin offerings, by the way, verse 5. And the other one is for Yahweh's sin offering. And the other one's for the scapegoat or Azal atonement or offering. Remember, once the sin offering, once it's done, is called an atonement. And you got that picture? It make it very simple for us. They talked about the blood, what to do with it. And of course, he has to take a censer full of burning coals, right? So he's got this censer, a bowl, I'd say. I think it has a handle on it, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's got hot coals in it. They're not smoking, they're just hot coals, like you do when you have a barbecue. You take the real hot red stuff and put it in your little bowl, okay? In this case, then he takes some incense, it's beaten real fine, and he's supposed to throw it on it as he enters inside the veil, and what happens? Smoky, it's all over the place. So you can't see, and the smoke represents what? The Yeshua himself, or the king of the greater himself, because no man's to look upon it, and he always is in a, lives in a what kind of a cloud? Black or dark cloud. Okay? So, it was a picture of symbolism that the high priest was not to see God, but he is to be in the presence of God, and so symbolism here of the smoke is a symbolism of the presence of God. And so it's kind of not too hard to figure out. And he's supposed to sprinkle, okay, the blood upon the mercy seat, upon the mercy seat, and in front of the mercy seat. Remember I told you last week that phrase that some of you have your translation, it's on the east side or east side. That is eastward. That's basically a Hebrew word for eastward, not east. Because if it was east, they had to sprinkle the back side of it, right? Because that east side is on the other side. But the whole holies faced westwardly. So it's talking, he's going before the veil, and he's throwing the blood on top of the seat and in the front of the seat. So the blood basically is a representation of the blood of the Messiah being spilt upon the creator of heaven and earth's lap, upon the creator of heaven and earth's feet. All right? The what?
Did you say blood of the Messiah?
Right.
And then something is the lap?
Okay. On his lap. This picture of this Holy of Holies, the seat of mercy is called. In there is supposed to be the King of Kings. Not the Messiah, the creator of himself. Okay? He's sitting on that throne. Right? Messiah does not get to sit by that himself on his throne yet until certain thing happens, which we have in the New Testament. Okay? So he wasn't sitting there. Just the Creator. Alright? And he is the one sitting on what's called mercy. And so now you have this blood that's sprinkled on top of that seat and in front of it. Not on its backside, left side. It's on top and in front. And that's blood, and it's seven times. It's completed, it's completion, and completion. He has completely accepted the offering. Both on himself and on his feet. It's almost like the creator of heaven and earth walked through the blood. That's my thinking. Doesn't mean it really is true. Anyway, we go on and continue on here, and we talk about, also, this is, by the way, all the way up to verse 14, all that series, of what takes place, about the incense, about the covering of the mercy seat and sprinkling on it. And then it repeats itself again on the one of the goats that was for the house of Israel. And same process went through, and the sprinkling of the blood on the seat and on the feet. So here we have the person who sitting on that throne. First thing he accepts is the offering of his son in two different situations. One for the priesthood, making them holy, and then that one for the house of Israel. Now making them, I shouldn't say holy, making them have an atonement for them. So it's a completion. There's two events taking place here. Yes.
Was the process that he did the first atonement and then he went back out and sacrificed the goat and did the second atonement? So did he go in twice or was...
He went in twice.
Okay.
Now I mentioned last week, if you remember, that in the book of Hebrews it says the Messiah walks through that curtain, right? And what did the Messiah do? He had to make an sin offering for the priesthood, right? We say, well, he didn't sin. But Scripture says he took upon our sins. Now, when he takes upon our sins, something has to be sacrificed for the sins. And that's why it says there in Psalms, you are looking for me, that I am the one that you are expecting for me to enter into that place. And I will die. He knew that. Remember? Right offhand, I can't remember right offhand. It's in Hebrews 2, book of Hebrews. But see, we see a picture here. So now he's done that. Now the second operation takes place. Now, the high priest has done this already in this chapter 15. And he's done this thing and about the certain things he had to do upon the mercy seat. And so we go through all this again. So we find out something very interesting. Verse 16, what is the thing that the priest is to do? What's verse 16 say? For the holy place. Inside of the Holy of Holies. He had to make an atonement. All right. For the mercy seat inside the veil. First things first. Remember, God says, I will start at where? At my temple. What's the most important thing in the temple? The mercy seat. First thing was built was what? The ark. What was put in the ark? Okay. No, that comes much later. We're only talking right here in the book of Leviticus what they're supposed to do. All right? And then comes a seat. And they cover it. Which is called a mercy seat, or it's called, in a sense, an atonement seat. It's a seat of atonement. Now, he also says to do something else in verse 16. What else is it supposed to do? Why would he have to clean the Holy of Holies, the seat? Why would he have to clean the mercy seat? They're what? Unclean. Remember, he says, I dwell amongst the unclean. Now, we could take it as an insult. They could take it as an insult. People could take it as an insult. But the truth is, God is wanting to be, I'm sorry, living amongst the unclean so he can clean the unclean. His job is to clean the unclean. So thank be to God that he actually is dwelling amongst the clean. But he really, is clean and dwelling amongst the unclean for a purpose, to make them clean like him. So you should be thankful that by God's word, you're unclean. And by God's word, he's going to clean you up. You should be grateful and thankful for what he's done. And how he's done it, of course, is by his son. And we should be thankful and grateful for the sacrifice, because he said, I love my creation so much that I'll take my son's life to spare my creation's life, to give my creation life. That's an awesome thought. And sometimes you rattle through that in the New Testament and don't really realize the magnificence of it, the story behind the story, the purpose behind the purpose. That's one of the most powerful statements I can think that was ever said by John. I think it's a fantastic statement. We kind of take it for granted. But it is, should be so personal to the creator of heaven and earth. Our mind should focus on the personal feelings and the desires and the will of the creator of heaven and earth for our sake. All right? It's a beautiful story when you stop and think about it. Yeah. We also have in verse 17 that no one was to be in this tabernacle of meeting, verse 17, until something took place, verse 17. The priest has completed the job. So in the tabernacle itself, not just the Holy of Holies, but in the meeting place, the tabernacle place, with all the paraphernalia around it, the altar, the golden altar, the menorah, the showbread, no one got in there. just one person, to fulfill a function first. First function first. And what did he have to do? He anointed the tabernacle of meetings. He anointed the priests. He anointed the people. Now, how did he do that? With the blood, the sprinkling of the blood. That's what he did. He also had to anoint the altar. You know, out of the way. Now, it's very funny because it talked about the mercy seat. And what else is talking about? We have the mercy seat being atoned for, the priest being atoned for, the people being atoned for, and the altar and its horns. No mention of the menorah. No mention of the golden altar. No mention of the showbread table. Just those. Now it's fascinating. We stop and think about that for a moment. Why did he do it to all? That's why in the book of Hebrews he says it was cleansed, but almost all was cleansed by blood. Because he knew certain things were not. Menorah was not. The showbread was not. And the golden altar was not. That real small little square altar. It was not anointed with blood. Incense. That's where, the golden altar, the little small one.
Well, it wouldn't need cleansing because
it has also this little thing he had to hold the fire in, the center holder, and it had the incense on it. That was all prepared. Yes.
Well, it sounds like he's gone to a great extent to be sure everything had to be cleaned up to be in his presence, which he wants us cleaned
Correct.
Up to be in his presence. But the three things that weren't cleaned up were light and
the menorah, the showbread, and
food,
the altar.
Bread.
The showbread table.
Okay.
Just a table. Nothing was on it. We're talking Day of Atonement. It's the 10th day.
I'm just wondering what things did he say that he leave unalready holy so he could go get the unholy and bring them in?
I'm only reading what it says. I don't have a complete answer why he left them. I have an opinion. I have a thought in my brain, but that's as far as it goes. I'll tell you what I think and my thought, what I think it means, but that's all it means, okay? All you're going to hear what Richard thinks. What do you think? The reason why I'm doing this is for us to understand there's only one person or one being that's going to teach us anything. And that is the creator of heaven and earth, our Father. Nobody else. So we have to ask God, enter into, if your will be done, help me to understand. If you don't want me to stand at this point in time in my life, I will wait. As Daniel has to wait until he's resurrected up. To John, who wrote the book of Revelations, has to be woken up to be understood. And tell everybody, at the end, we're not supposed to know it all. We're just supposed to understand the incredible love. When we say love of God, I'm talking about the mercy of God. Going way beyond measure. All right? I think it's an awesome story, the Day of Atonement, in my personal opinion. So, well, that being a summary, what's that called? A relapse, going back onto the first part of it. That's a function that took place with the high priest. The high priest only operated. Now, verse 20 introduces another part of the Day of Atonement, which is separate from, quote, sin offering of blood. Right? Now we're going into the other part of the story, and it has to do with what? When he has made an end of atoning for the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle meeting and altar, then he takes and brings the live goat. Now, be careful what we're reading, because the very next verse tells you something, or next two verses tell you. Verse 21, Aaron shall lay his hands upon the head of the live goat, confess all of the iniquities and all of the children of Israel and their transgressions and their sins, and putting them on the head of the goat and send them into a place of the wilderness or a place where nobody lives. And the goat shall bear it upon him, him only these. Verse 23, and Aaron shall come into the tabernacle meeting. So this area of the other goat was outside of the tabernacle of meetings. Did you catch that? It's not inside, because the inside was already atoned for. Remember, both goats are for sin offerings. Yes, it does, verse 5. Of the 16th chapter. The two goats. They're called sin offerings. We go back in here after he's done this, verse 620, he says, then he's made an end of all that atoning he's done, and then now he lays his hands upon the goat. Verse 23 tells you, then he will go back into the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle of the meeting, to take off the linen garments and to put on his own clothes. Now he's outside. Otherwise they would not have this thing, then he goes back inside. Okay, so it tells you a story. Now we're talking about the second section of this Day of Atonement and the second goat. It's outside. It's not inside. When he cast a lot upon him, one was for the Lord, that one went in. The other one stayed out. All right? This is the reason why we're studying this chapter. We're trying to study this chapter to figure out what is this talking about. What is the purpose behind this? We'll get there. It does say it. It's very important. I'm not going to speed this thing up at full throttle, because I think this chapter is one of the most important chapters in all the book of Leviticus. My personal opinion. And then what is the priest supposed to do? After he has done that, Verse 23, he goes back into the tabernacle and he takes off the linen garments. Remember, his linen garments, he had to go through a process inside the tabernacle doing all the atoning and the blood on certain areas. And they come back out again now. He still got the holy garments on. Now, they're probably bloody. All right? Because it's a pretty bloody, messy thing he had to do. But the garment was holy. So now he goes back in and he takes off those linen garments. What does he do with them? He leaves them there. What is he supposed to do? He's supposed to wash himself. Where? Outside of the tabernacle? No, inside. He cleans himself inside. Remember they had a wash basin? That was not anointed. So now he takes a bath, washes himself, and then he puts his own clothes back on. That he had in the first place. In the first place, he had to go in there with his clothes, take his clothes off, put them aside, and put on the linen garments. The holy linen garments. Do his functions, do what he had to do. Go back outside, and talk about the second goat here. We'll get to that, back to that again. Then he's done that, and somebody's taken that goat now, that live goat, and has departed him and took him outside of the camp. Basically, that's what it says in Hebrew. He took him outside the camp, away from the people of Israel. And so now, we go in here, and we say, he goes back into it, changes his clothes, takes his garment off, takes his clothes, washes himself, and now he does something else. Now he does what's called the holah offering. Did you notice he didn't do that in the first place? He didn't do that. He did the sin offering first. Now he's come back into the tabernacle, which has been sanctified now by the blood. Very important places to be sanctified by the blood. The Holy of Holies. What else? What else got sprinkled with blood? The mercy seat. And the altar. And the tabernacle. That is the physical tabernacle itself. Why did he have to do that? Because that's the dwelling place of God. That's where God lives. But because of the uncleanliness of the people of Israel, which he lives amongst, his house had to be cleaned first. All right? Now we know that we hear in the book of Revelations, he says, I will not shake just earth alone, but also heaven. In the book of Revelations, we see heaven being shaken pretty well. Earth is being shaken, but heaven is also being shaken. He can clean up his place first. And we look at the book of Revelations, when the devil's finally cast down, what is praised in heaven? They're praising God because the house is clean up there now. It's gone. It's gone. It's over with. It's it. So he cleans up his heaven place first. You see, his heaven's got something up there to be there? Yes. Otherwise, he wouldn't shake it up. All right? We think that we are the only ones involved where there is bad things. If only the earth was the place for bad things and the heaven the place of all good things, why do they have to shake up heaven? Why do they have to cast the devil down? Why does he have to do that? Because guess where the devil's at and where his people are at? They're up there amongst his holiness. Wow. You understand that before?
I did.
He got rid of not more than just unclean. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yes, he had to clean his house up first. So we see a pattern here in the book of 16th chapter, right? First things first. Now he goes back in again. Now he makes a whole offering. That's the highest offering, by the way, you could give to God. It's a free will offering.
The ascending offering?
That's the one that's ascending upward. First for the high priest. Ascending upward. And then the people, their offering, ascending upward. Wow. Where do you think they're going? They're going up to the throne of God. Now, as we continue on this particular thing, where was I at? Oh, 24. Oh, yeah. Oh, so for himself. Now, when the priest returns back to that meeting to do the functions of doing and his garments and all that, and he takes a whole offering for an atonement, says for an atonement, different kind. What's that? Why does he have the whole offering as an atonement? Wasn't the sin offering an atonement? So in the first phase of atonement, what's the second phase?
For himself.
And they're giving something to God. Free will offering. They're giving a free will offering to God.
So what does that mean, free will?
Everything belongs to him. When the whole thing's burned up, everything belongs to him. Yes.
So if I understand this right, God gave us the free will as in our choice to be able to
make
decisions.
A choice.
And so we're just saying we are giving you the authority over our lives. Is that right?
And we're thankful.
And we're thankful. Am I right?
Therefore, I'm going to give you something else. Everything.
Right?
Everything. I'm going to give you everything. My life, everything. Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, okay.
But you get us all happy.
And the high priest and his family, quote, gave up everything. The picture of the Messiah giving up everything. Yes.
And that means you turn everything over and let go. Right?
Right, because
you can't
we're not
be
finished
all
yet.
Grasping
this chapter,
then.
This chapter is not completely finished yet. Something else happens. We need to find out what else takes place here on the Day of Atonement.
Well, that means we stop worshiping our kids or worshiping, you know, our clothes or worshiping fear or worshiping whatever. We give it all to him. Let go, let go, let go, let go.
Yes.
All right.
Or any other thing one may think of. Okay. Acts 17th chapter kind of covers that in more detail. We'll get to there next week. Now we're going in here and it says, of course, the person who took the goat, the live goat, did something. He had to go back, take his clothes off, give himself a bath, because he's not supposed to associate himself with something. Not to associate himself with the live goat. Yes.
So the free will offering, do you think we're going to do it at the tabernacles?
Yes. is burnt inside the tabernacle. The holy, all the freewill offerings are burnt inside the tabernacle.
So we will do it in the future. Will we
do
that?
No. Once it's been done.
Right.
God has already accepted the freewill offering, and has accepted the sin offering. We don't have to repeat and give him any more sin offering, because it already has occurred for us. We don't have to give him a whole offering, because it already has occurred for us. The high priest did it. That's the function of the high priest. He does that job because that's what he, quote, get paid for. We're talking the Messiah himself.
But in the millennium,
Doesn't say that in the millennium. I don't know what God's going to do in the millennium. But as far, I'm telling you personally, as far as you and myself is concerned, we should not be flesh and blood. We should be in the presence of God, in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What happens outside before anybody gets into the kingdom of God, anybody can say anything they want to say and anything they want to do. I'm not having an answer for you in all places. Some people say yes, some people say no, some people say maybe, some people say this. That's not an issue for my life. I'm only looking at it for where God is telling us how we should live, why he did it for us, and where we're going to go with it. The hidden things are for God. He will reveal what he wants us to do when he decides to reveal it. Now, there's a period of time we'll be with what's called the Lord, or Yahshua, and it'll be there a time he's going to teach us an awful lot of stuff. Okay? The people that were dead a long time ago, and those are caught up into life at the point of time of his return, he's got a lot of things to say to us. And I think we won't have this human nature fighting back, debate, quarrel, fight. It's all going to be received because we will have an image of God himself within us. We will become like God in the sense that we will receive the truth quick and fast and absorb it. There will be no doubt of what is a lie, what is not a lie. You'll know what the truth is. And it will come rapidly and quick.
It's a download.
Okay? That's my thinking. You can cancel that out of your brain and cancel out of your thinking. It's just my way of thinking. That's all I'm thinking. That's all I'm saying about that. All right, now, where am I at? Okay, and he who burns... Oh! Verse 20, 25, did I finish 25? Oh, and the fat of the sin offering... He shall burn on the altar. Okay, now that's the sin offering, both of the sin offerings, both of the goat and the, and what's the bull? Yeah, the bull. You remember what a sin offering, who gets to consume the meat?
The high priest.
We're talking Messiah gets to consume the good part of the meat, but not completely all of it. It's a very fascinating thing here. They had to finish the rest of the chapter. Now something else takes place on this Day of Atonement. Do you see all the events take place on the Day of Atonement? There's a lot of stuff, isn't there? Not just one thing for me and for you. It involves the dwelling place of God himself. It involves the holy seat. It involves the altar. It involves everything about that tabernacle, about his dwelling place, first thing on the agenda is his dwelling place. Second thing on the agenda is get rid of that live goat. And it's outside of his home. Outside of his home. And somebody takes it, removes it, casts it out. My personal opinion, my personal thinking, it has no meaning whatsoever. Doesn't mean anything. I'm only going to take this as a thought. And the book of Revelation talks about a certain angel casting somebody out. Michael casting the devil and his cohorts down to the earth where God doesn't live. Out of the campsite of God. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying it looks like that could be a picture thereof. That's it. The what?
You mean the goat?
Yeah. No, the picture of sin being cast out. I'm saying something here, a fit man. That's, I don't know what that means. This is my thinking. Don't assume the sin the goat that has the live sin on it is the bad guy. Something else it represents. And the devil represents something else, doesn't he? Represents lies. Not truth. A capable, strong man. Goats sometimes can be, you know, rough, I guess. Actually, we'll go into that more in detail next week about the goat. And 17th chapter talks about a certain thing about a goat. We'll talk about that more in detail later. And I think it kind of relates a little bit to this, but I cannot say yes or no to it because I have not done deep study on it. Now, once again, you don't have to agree with what I'm saying. I just want you to take a look at it, that the Day of Atonement involves a lot of stuff. And it all has to do with God and the people of God. That means you. Right? So he goes on in verse 27. Then he takes the bull sin offering and the goat sin offering. What did he do it? The blood made the atonement for it. What did he do with it? He took it and carried it where? Outside of the camp. Not outside of the Holy of Holies. Outside of the camp. Same as the live goat, outside of the camp. Now he takes this, he takes it outside of the camp. What is he supposed to do with it? Burn it. Burn it. That's odd. Why would he do that? Anybody have an idea? Anybody have a thought? Opinion? This outside the camp, away from the people.
Only the dirty, rotten things were put outside of the camp.
These were the sin offerings. And any other offering, sin offering, the high priest gets to keep the skin. Not this time. Not this time. This time, he doesn't get to keep it. All past is to be burnt up. What's being burnt up? So what?
Amen.
What's being burnt up?
The past
of sin. Sins of both the priest and the people. Burnt up. Ashes under his feet. Yes.
Burning the fire, their skin, their flesh, and their...
Their flesh and the offal, the waste.
Offal, that's what it says.
Yeah, it's waste, you know, waste. Dung.
You're saying it's poo?
Yeah.
It's all gone. Turns all out of ashes. Outside of the camp, outside of where people live, outside of their world, it's no longer there. You understand it's a beautiful story? A picture? Now, you don't have to accept that. I'm saying this is what I'm thinking about, what I'm seeing, and I think it's very strange that it's written that way. Now, verse 30 tells you why. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean in all of your sins before Yahweh. The option of all of this is that when you have done that, he has done this. He took in this sin offering and he has burnt it now. Everything is gone outside of the camp. And it's a picture of him making us clean. Okay? It's an atonement in the first place. Then there's another atonement, a clean, a complete covering of what? Ashes? Burnt up in fire. Everything is gone. The past is finished. Now, don't you think it's a beautiful story?
Yeah.
Yes.
They took Yeshua outside the city.
Yeah. Yeshua was killed outside of the temple. It's a picture of all that kind of stuff. He was cast out. And the merchant of the fit man cast the goat out. of the camp. Didn't kill him, just cast him out. And the goat continued on living. The live goat, the physical goat kept on living. But a picture of something being completely removed, the inclination of sinning will be removed. Now, that's a future thing to happen completely for us. We know that. We know that we stumble, we fall. Those are still present within us. But as far as God is looking at it, since the atonement took place by the blood of his son, now when we sin, it's outside of the camp. It will be eliminated in the future. When is when he, the Messiah, comes and restoration of all things be completed. That's a spiritual concept. Now, we can take it literally, what Apostle Peter was saying, but I think he's not talking about the physical burning. He's talking about the things being burnt up that are contrary. Because it says a new heaven and new earth, I know that. But at the same time, something is being destroyed. All right? Well, these are all different thoughts and ideas and thinking. I just don't want you to come walk away thinking, okay, this is the truth. No, we have to ask God, does this make sense? Are you showing me in the scriptures, the parallel of the Messiah, what took place and how he had the New Testament connected to the Day of Atonement? What's it all about? Do I understand it? Yes or no? No, I tell you honest truth. I myself have to ask God constantly, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Do I understand what is written? I break it down these words like crazy. What are you doing? What am I doing that for? Because I want to know who he is, how he is, how he thinks. Because according to scripture, he says, get to know me. Get to understand me. You will know me. And the Messiah said, if you know the will of my Father, you will know. Now, he didn't say you'll never know what God wants you to do. You'll never understand the will of God. You'll never understand the thoughts of God. You'll never understand the mercies of God. He just does it. He's doing it right there. And you read it, in this particular Day of Atonement, he's explaining with great detail how he's going to do it. Can we understand that? Can we hear the word of God? Can we hear every word that comes down? If we don't quite understand every word, ask, seek, knock. The latter part, of course, it says this is Sabbath, or like a Sabbath. This is a solemn thing. You're going to afflict yourself. Why do you want to afflict your breathing habits? Why would you want to do that for? Why would you want to stop eating and not drinking?
It doesn't say not to eat or drink.
When it says afflict your souls, that means your body. Everything about you. What does afflict mean? Oh, I don't think I'll eat cookies. I'm afflicting myself. Cookies are my favorite one. I'm going to afflict myself so I don't eat cookies today. Oh, okay. I'm going to afflict myself because I like candy. I'm not going to have candy today. I'm afflicting my soul. Is that what it's all about? The Messiah was afflicted. The Messiah was beaten. His flesh was afflicted. His body was afflicted. Can we not take and realize that, oh, this is what you're talking about. This is how you are telling us your son did this and afflicted himself for our sake. Now he says, I want you to afflict yourself. Okay, I will. I won't leave the house. I'll stay in my house and not visit my friend. I'll turn off the television. I'll turn off the radio. I'll turn off everything. I'll just sit in total darkness. I'll afflict myself. What does that mean? Yes.
A lot of times I've been noticing so far, especially DM, to afflict your soul, it didn't say fast. But you go into the prophets and the writings, you'll see the examples of what the atonement was, what you're supposed to do on a Day of Atonement. And you'll see example after example of fasting.
And from that point on, we finish the chapter, is that even the next high priest comes, he goes through the very same process once a year, over and over and over again. Then the book of Hebrews says, if it would have worked the first time, there would never be another offering needed. So this is much higher than it, isn't it? The picture of something far greater, far more important. And the book of Hebrews talks about that. You don't have to go there today, but I hope you understand. Any questions about the Day of Atonement? What we've covered so far. Never seen, I hope you'll be able to see, the picture of atonement is much larger than the two goats. It's one of the latter things that takes place. And after that takes place comes the whole offering. The first point first is my dwelling place. Right? Second place was the goats, the live goat. Third place, whole offering. One, two, three. Did you notice that? Three separate, independent events taking place on the Day of Atonement. Does that not a picture of hope? And not a picture of joy? So I don't drink any water that day. I'll tell you, it does affect me. Does it affect you when you don't drink water for 24 hours? Okay. Woe was you and woe was me that we are afflicted, but we'll eat. Well, that doesn't work. I'll afflict myself with no food, but I'll drink with water. When you don't eat, do you afflict yourself? Yeah. Which one's greater? No water or no food? So, we are honoring, in my personal Richard Agee's opinion, we are honoring the Father himself directly for something he did very personally and affected his world, his life, his dwelling place, his creation that he created for his will, for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. And it got polluted. It became unclean. Now he says, I got to clean it up. Does that make sense to you in your mind? I think that God, in my mind, isn't awesome. And so we come back every year, Day of Atonement. It shouldn't be how thirsty we are, or hungry are, or how tired we are. We should think about the Father and his actions and his deed, what he's going to do and has done for us already. It is to honor him. It is to give great respect to him, great admiration to him.